So we're in Genesis chapter 31, and last week, we finished chapter 30, and we started on chapter 31, and just to go over it a little bit, what we talked about. So Jacob had served Laban for 14 years for his two daughters. He came to get one wife. He kind of ended up with two wives, and then he ended up with four wives, and that was interesting. But anyway, he served the time that he had promised to Laban and received the wages, which was his two daughters to wife. And then Jacob wants to go back home. He asks Laban for a formal send-off, and Laban says, "Well, you know, the Lord's really blessed me for your sake since you've been here. And I really want you to stay here and continue working for me for a while longer." And that was Laban's kind of sneaky, politish way of saying, "You're useful to me and I want to take advantage of you." That's really what was in his heart. And so they made a deal, and Jacob served him 6 years for his cattle. And the deal was that when the cattle bear anything that was spotted, speckled, ring-streaked, or brown among the sheep, that was going to belong to Jacob. And so Laban agreed to these terms and then did something really underhanded, is he took all the ones that were like that in his flock that he was aware of, and he sent them into the hands of his brethren and his sons, and he sent them away a few days' journey. So that Jacob basically had nothing to start with. How do you get ring-streaked and speckled and spotted if you don't have any ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted parents, right? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. So we also saw that at the beginning of chapter 31 that God spoke to Jacob in a dream and told him to return home. Now the time had come. He served 6 years for the cattle. He's got some cattle now, and it's time to go home. So we saw that Jacob called his wives, Rachel and Leah, and explained the situation, told them about the dream that he had and how God spoke to him. And we saw that Laban's countenance had changed toward Jacob. He used to be very friendly and, you know, kind of welcoming and, "Hey, everything's going great here." I mean, that's how he was on the surface. But over time, what happened is that he was trying to take advantage of Jacob and he was trying to cheat him and take what he had and just use him. And instead, his scheme backfires and his sons start to realize, "Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory." And so Laban's countenance is changing because his scheme failed, and he was trying to take advantage of Jacob, and instead he ends up losing what he has to Jacob. And so I'm actually going to just start at the beginning of this chapter, and just read through to about verse 30. It's a long chapter, 55 verses. We're not going to get through it all today. So I'm just going to read through the first half of this chapter, just starting in verse 1 again. And it says, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, 'Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory.' And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, 'Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee.' And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, 'I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, 'The speckled shall be thy wages,' then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said, thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedst a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten, and paid in Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, and that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done, that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Okay, so let's break this down, go through it little by little. We just talked about the first few verses here. We see in verse 3, this is where the Lord talks to Jacob. He speaks to him. I think this is talking about the dream. And then he's going to call his wives and tell them what happened in the dream. Okay? So first God speaks to him. Verse 3, the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and he explains what God said to him in the dream, and he says, the God of my father hath been with me. Verse 6, he says, and ye know that with all my power I have served your father. So what is he saying? Well, he's saying, I've been a hard worker, I've been honest in my work, I've been honest in my dealings with Laban. For the wages that Laban's given me, I gave 100%. As a matter of fact, I gave more than that. And he'll talk about that later in this chapter. He worked extra hard for Laban. He served with all his power. He was righteous in his dealings with Laban. Okay? In contrast, verse 7, he says, your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. So in contrast to Jacob's honesty and his just dealings, Laban is he's lying and he's cheating and he's a deceiver. And one thing that I noticed as I read through this chapter is just how much Laban really has in common with Satan. He's a deceiver. He's a cheat. He's all about the power of his hand to hurt. And but God was with Jacob and he suffered him not to hurt me. He says, your father hath deceived me. We know about what happened with the wives, the sisters, obviously. But he also says, and changed my wages 10 times. So I think what happened, he gets into this a little bit in the next verse. He says, if he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstraked shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstraked. It seems like the deal that they originally made was that all the straked, all the spotted, all the speckled, all the brown, that would all go to Jacob. It seems like Laban changed the deal as time went on. He's like, ah, no. Actually, it's just the speckled. Ah, no. Actually, it's just the ring straked. And just whatever he picked, whatever he chose to try and cheat Jacob, God just turned it around and used that to bless Jacob instead.
Amen.
So, God suffered him not to hurt me. Verse 9, thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and gristled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto me. God is saying, I have seen what Laban did, and I'm taking care of you. He also says, lift up now thine eyes and see. This is kind of a pattern through the Bible. You see, God is the one that formed man's eyes, it says. Does he not see? Yeah, God can see. As a matter of fact, God's vision is a whole lot better than ours. He can see a lot of things that we can't see. And there's a pattern throughout the scripture that talks about what God can see and how he opens the eyes of people to show them the truth that he can see. And we, by default, by our nature, we can't see. Go to Numbers chapter 22. I'll show you a couple examples of this. Numbers chapter 22. And I'm not going to get into the whole story, but verse 31. It says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. This is something that Balaam just couldn't see. Actually, the ass that he was riding on could see the angel, and he couldn't see it until God opened his eyes and showed him. It's not like God was making this thing appear and it wasn't real. No. It was real. It was there. And he couldn't see until God opened his eyes and showed him the truth. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Also very similar. Second Kings chapter 6. In verse 16, this is when the servant of Elisha is panicking because they're surrounded by this giant host. And Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Amen.
That was reality. But it was a reality that God could see and this guy couldn't. And you know what? Actually, Elisha could see them too. Why? Well, because he was a spiritual man and he had that connection with God and his eyes were open and he could see. And then he asked the Lord to open this other man's eyes so that he could see too. But that was the reality. The host was there. Now, what does that have to do with Genesis 31? I had an interesting discussion with Thad last week, and he mentioned that this could be recessive traits. Like, Laban took away all the speckled and spotted and ring-straight cattle and separated them from the flock. So what's he got left? Well, I'll just call them the plain ones, right? He's got the plain ones left. But here's the thing. They look plain on the outside, but they have these traits that God looks at him and says, actually, they're ring-straight, speckled, and spotted. So even though Laban thinks he's getting away with this, actually, no, these ring-straight, speckled, and spotted, even though they don't show it, they can still have children. They can still have offspring that are ring-straight, speckled, and spotted.
Right.
And God worked that to bless Jacob in spite of Laban's best efforts to cheat him. So, and it looks like God is just showing him, look, this is the reality that I see. This is how this thing is going to work out. So, and then also verse 13, he says, I am the God of Bethel. The God of Bethel? Well, what's that? Well, back a few chapters, when Jacob was first headed out here, you remember he saw that ladder reaching up to heaven, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And then he said, oh, how dreadful is this place? This is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. And he set up this pillar of stones and he anointed it with oil and said, this is God's house. And you look at that and you're like, what? You're building a pile of rocks, you're putting some oil on it, and that's God's house? And he vowed a vow there. And he said, if you'll bring me back to my father's house in peace and you'll be with me, then you'll be my God.
Amen.
And God heard him.
Yeah.
You know why? God has ears. He can hear. And God heard him. And he took him up on that. And God was with him. And he knew that Jacob was serious in his heart when he vowed that. And so God was with him. And he said, and he identified himself with that. He said, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointedst the pillar, and where thou vowedst the vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And again, I will be with thee. That's what he said in verse 3. So this is like a perfect fulfillment of that vow. You know, Jacob said, hey, Lord, let it be like this, and then you'll be my God. God's like, okay, let's do it just like that. I'll take you up on it. I am that God who heard you, and I'm speaking to you. Let's go. All right. So Jacob had gathered Rachel and Leah together. And he told them all of this about Laban's dealings and what happened and about this dream and what God said to him. In verse 14, and Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. So it sounds like the inheritance that they had, the possessions that they had, whatever they had, I don't know, it doesn't really give a lot of details about it. But it sounds like Laban was the kind of guy who was cheating his own children out of what was theirs and found a way to take that too. And then when God evaporated all that out of Laban's possessions and it went over to Jacob, well, his wives are like, why would we stay here with our father? We got nothing here. God's taken everything that he had and given it to you, and we're your wives, so let's go. Let's go where God told you to go.
Amen.
So, and that it's actually kind of nice to to read in this chapter that the two sisters, the two wives, are finally like, I don't know, it seems like they're actually turning into a family and they're not at odds with each other, at least not that it says here. Okay, so verse 17, it says, "Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's." We'll get to that in a second. But I just want to point out that it says, verse 20, Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had. It says that God told him to leave. He told him to return and to leave Laban behind. But it doesn't say that God told him to fled. And I don't know whether that was the right way or the wrong way to go about this. You know, sometimes God can tell you to do something and you'll do it, but maybe not in like the best way. God had told Abraham, for example, to sojourn in this land. Okay, so Abraham went. Well, he didn't tell him, well, say that Sarah's your sister. You know, that was kind of their invention.
Right.
So I just want to say, like, I don't know that Jacob necessarily went about this the right way. I don't know that he was supposed to flee and not tell Laban about it. But he did obey the Lord in leaving. Okay? So he stole away unawares. And by the way, there's two different uses of the word stole. So it says, verse 19, Rachel had stolen. And then verse 20, it says, Jacob stole away unawares. To steal can mean to take something that's not yours, to take something wrongfully. Okay? That's what we usually think of. But steal can also mean to, like, move in a stealthy manner. Steal is right in the word stealth. They're all kind of related in meaning. These are things that a thief would do. He would steal, move stealthy, and steal, like, take something that wasn't his. But those are two different things. So Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. That was a wrong thing to do. Jacob stole away unawares. I don't know. Maybe that was a wrong thing to do too. I don't really know. But let's talk about this. Verse 19, it says, Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. The images? What are those? Because, you know, in the Bible, all this time that we've been reading, we're 30 chapters into Genesis now. The only time I ever remember an image being mentioned is back in chapter 1 in similar passages where it says God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So what is this talking about? Well, go to John chapter 10. See, God has an image. And when he created man in his own image, what he was doing is basically creating a lesser version of himself. He was creating man to be his children. That's what happens when you have children. It's like you're creating a little version of yourself. They're just like you. And that's what God wanted to do, is make a creature who was just like him. But, you know, lesser. John chapter 10, Jesus is going to talk about this. John chapter 10, verse 33, says, "The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." That's ironic. It was actually kind of the reverse. but verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. That's what God said to man. Why? Verse 35, if he called them gods, that's a little g, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? What is Jesus saying here? Jesus said the seed is the word of God. You know what God does? He begets children by sending his seed. That's his word. And you know what he says when he sends the word of God to them? He says, I said, ye are gods. That's what God's doing. He's creating a lesser version of himself. That's what it means to make man in his own image. And what is it? Well, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, he's like, well, why do you say I blaspheme? Because I say I'm the Son of God. See what I'm saying? God intended us to be his children. How can that be blasphemy to say I'm the Son of God? God sanctified me and sent me into the world. But we read about these other images now. What are these other images? Go to Exodus chapter 20. He's going to start mentioning these things. So there was this, I talked before, months ago, about how this false religion started. And there were people that were like worshiping angels and worshiping the host of heaven, the sun and the moon and all that. And this false religion started to spread from the area of Babel and Babylon, and it was spreading to all the surrounding area. We read about how Abraham's ancestors, they worshipped other gods. And now we see that Laban has his own. Exodus chapter 20, this is the Ten Commandments, starting verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what form do these gods usually take? Well, in the creating of an image, another image. Man was supposed to be created in the image of God. That's God, again, making a lesser version of something like himself. What does man do? He rejects the knowledge of God and says, no, I'm going to make my gods in my image or in the image of something else. It's man completely flipping this thing around.
Right.
God makes man in his own image. Man makes God in his own image.
Right.
Or worse. Go to Romans chapter 1. I can't tell you exactly what Laban made these images of. But this shows you what's in his heart. Romans chapter 1. And we start in verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. By the way, that's Laban. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You're seeing these two verses play out in the book of Genesis. Laban, you know, he thinks of himself as a wise guy. He's clever. He's gonna sneak and deceive and cheat Jacob. You know what? He's a fool.
Right.
He's a fool. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. It's a funny thing about the gods that man makes for himself is that he'll worship anything as long as it's not the true God. He'll worship something that's made in the image of a man or something that's made in the image of a bird or a beast or just whatever. He'll worship money, he'll worship power, he'll worship people, he'll worship celebrities, whatever. But he doesn't like to worship the true God. Well, let's go to one more. Let's go to Psalm 115. Again, very applicable to Laban himself. Psalm 115, I'm just going to read from verses 1 to 9. He says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's one thing that you see in Genesis 31. You see the true God, the real God. And you know what he does? He hears. He speaks. He handles. He takes care of things. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. By the way, everything he just mentioned, God does in the book of Genesis. The real God actually does all these things in the book of Genesis. It says they have mouths, but they speak not. You know what God did? He spoke and it was done.
Yep.
He commanded and it stood fast. It says eyes have they, but they see not. You know what? The Lord saw. Right in this chapter, it's in there. He saw. I see what Laban did to you. They have noses, but they smell not. You know what the Lord did? He smelled a sweet-smelling savor when Noah offered up those animals after he got off the ark. They have hands, but they handle not. You know what God did? He took the dust of the earth and he formed it into a man. And then he took from that man and formed it into a woman. God can do all these things.
Amen.
Feet have they, but they walk not. You know what? The Lord walked through that garden. He walked with Enoch. He walked with Noah. God can do all these things because he's real. But these idols, they can't do anything. They're vanity. They're nothing. And what does it say in verse 8? They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. Verse 9. O Israel. Who's Israel? Actually, that's Jacob. You're going to find out later on. He's given the name Israel. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Amen. And we see that also in Genesis chapter 31. Okay, so so what happens? Verse 21, it says, so he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now, that's kind of an interesting phrase. Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Laban himself actually said something very similar back in chapter 24. Let's turn there. Genesis chapter 24. If you recall that Abraham had sent his servant to Laban's family to take a bride for his son Isaac. And in Genesis 24, in verse 49, the servant says, and now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Now, if you say that you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, that would be speaking good. And if not, well, that would be speaking bad. Okay? Verse 50, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. What is he saying? When he says that, he's like, well, it's not our choice. Like, okay, we think this is a good idea or we think this is a bad idea. Basically, what he's saying is, this is the will of God. It's the work of God. And we must not interfere. It's not our part to say. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. Mm-hmm. So what's the gist of this phrase? Speak not bad or good. It basically means, let us not interfere, because this is the work of God.
Right.
Okay? I think that's what God is saying to Laban here. Laban decides, well, Jacob has really made me angry. I'm going to go after him and do something to him. And God speaks to him in a dream and says, don't interfere. Don't speak good to him. Don't say, oh, come on back home. Let's get along. And, you know, we'll just keep, I'll extend your deal. And no, God wants him to leave. He also said, don't speak bad unto him. Don't come after him and be like, you're a wicked person. I'm going to punish you. No. God is telling him, let him go, Laban. Don't interfere. He's following me. So actually, we just got to the end of a paragraph, and the next paragraph is going to start at verse 25. And I think we're pretty much out of time, so we're just going to stop there for now, and we will get to the conclusion of this story next week. Okay, thanks for being in Sunday school. Wow.